the National Gold Corp, struck a deal with the Kensington folks, Coeur d'Alene Mines, to buy 50% of the output of the Kensington mine for the foreseeable future. That was the first of its kind.
Economists predict Southeast Alaska's involvement in exporting to countries with developing economies. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more, up next. Alaska's Marine Transportation Advisory Board wants more information before taking a stand on a new ferry system chief. The board met via teleconference Monday morning to discuss the finalist for the Transportation Department's Deputy Commissioner for Marine Operations. The finalist was chosen by Commissioner Mark Lucan. That person, whose name was not released, did not attend the meeting. The discussion took place during a closed-door executive session, and the public and press could not listen in. Meeting later in public, the board voted to write a letter asking Lucan to further discuss the applicant and the hiring process. Board Chairman Mike Korsmo of Skagway says the panel wants to interview the finalist and review additional information. Lucan last week said he was close to filling the position. He said he wanted a strong leader.
I'd certainly like someone with marine experience and someone who is familiar with this part of Alaska. And while not absolute requirements, certainly those are advantages that I'm looking for in a marine highway deputy.
Former ferry chief Jim Beadle retired at the end of December after 37 years with the system. General Manager John Falvey has been filling in. Lucan already named his two other deputy commissioners. Stephen Hatter is in charge of aviation, and Pat Kemp runs highway operations. China, India, Taiwan. All three have emerging market economies and could become increasingly valuable trade partners for Alaska. In the third of three statewide economic forecast events sponsored by World Trade Center Alaska, three economists told a Juneau audience Thursday that developing countries are taking on a new role in the world economy. Wells Fargo investment manager John Snare says preliminary data from 2010 shows that emerging countries like China, India, Brazil, and Russia past developed nations, including the United States, in terms of economic growth. Snare says it's a trend that should continue, but he says the U.S. and other developed countries should see it as an opportunity rather than a threat.
We think emerging markets are really going to dominate the next 10 to 20 years and probably even longer than that. U.S. companies that can figure out ways and U.S. industries that can figure out ways to sell to those emerging markets are going to do well.
Alaska is already tapping one emerging market in China, which received 23% of the state's exports in 2010, second only to Japan. Total Alaska exports to China approached $1 billion last year, up from just $100 million in 2004. World Trade Center Alaska Executive Director Greg Wolf says perhaps more importantly, the Chinese are now investing in Alaska. One notable example is the Kensington Mine near Haines.
China National Gold Corp struck a deal with the Kensington folks, Coeur d'Alene Mines, to buy 50% of the output of the Kensington mine for the foreseeable future. That was the first of its kind, according to the Coeur d'Alene's press release, of a U.S. precious metals company partnering with a Chinese state-owned enterprise.
Longtime trade partner Japan still topped the list of countries that import Alaska goods, bringing in 28% of the state's exports in 2010. South Korea was third, behind China at 12%. World Trade Center officials did a trip to India, Singapore, and Taiwan recently to try and build markets in those countries, and Wolf says visits to other potential trade partners are in the works.
We're looking for the next Japan for us, or the next Korea for us. What's going to be the next big market? Maybe it's going to be India. Maybe it's going to be Vietnam. Maybe it's going to be, you know, we're looking around, and that's the point.
The economists say Alaska could set a new export record this year. Exports rebounded in 2010 to about $4 billion in total value after dipping slightly the two previous years due to the U.S. recession. Most of the gains were due to higher commodity prices and not more goods being sent overseas. Seafood topped the list of Alaska exports at 44% of the total. 32% came from mineral exports, mostly zinc and lead, while 9% came from energy, such as coal or liquefied natural gas. The state estimated that Alaska's exports grew 30% through October last year, giving a total of $3.8 billion during those 10 months. Southeast Alaska contributed to that total with exports such as forest products and gold from a variety of mines. In addition, $39 million worth of Canadian copper was exported through the Skagway ore port in that time, according to the state. Wolf cited a Northern Economics report that said exports created nearly 25,000 direct and indirect jobs in Alaska in 2008. A Haines woman has been accused of intentionally starting a fire at a home earlier this month. 56-year-old Rebecca Langford was indicted by a Juneau grand jury Friday on first- and second-degree arson charges. The bill of indictment charges her with starting a fire at a home on FAA Road on January 11th and placing another person in danger of serious injury. According to court documents in Haines, Langford told police that she set fire to a bed in the bedroom of the man who owns the home because he was a jerk. Langford was in another room at the house when officials arrived. Langford has been assigned a public defender in the case. Both charges of arson are felonies that can mean maximum sentences of 10 to 20 years in prison. Another delay in the case of the Hoona man accused of killing two police officers. A competency evaluation for 45-year-old John Marvin Jr. still has not been done at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute in Anchorage. A jury trial has been rescheduled for February 28th in Juneau, but that date may be pushed back even more. Marvin's defense attorney will be out of town. He also said earlier that he may need another 90 days to prepare a defense. Marvin listened to Friday's hearing in Juneau Superior Court by telephone, but he did not make any comment. Defendants usually have a right to a speedy trial within 120 days of being charged, but that clock was stopped at 106 days after the competency evaluation was requested. Marvin is charged with murder and weapons misconduct in connection with the deaths of Hoona officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokioka August 28th. He was arrested after holding other officers at bay for over a day. Home games were the highlights for home teams last weekend, with the Glacier Bears girls racking up two wins against Wrangell in their first home games of the season. Meanwhile, four away games resulted in four losses for the Panthers and Glacier Bears boys in Hoona and Wrangell. Brian Elliott coaches the Haines girls, who played Wrangell twice on the home court over the weekend. They won against the Wolves 61-24 on Friday and again on Saturday 62-22.
They went well. We were really excited to play in our own gym finally after playing eight road games to start the season. So we were pretty jacked, sky high on Friday night, and it showed up on the court.
The Glacier Bears suffered one injury on Friday. Marnie Rasmussen sat out Saturday with a sprained ankle. Coaches say they hope to have her back in the game by the end of next week, but in the meantime, her absence gave her teammates a chance for more game time.
Wrangell's a young team. They have a lot of sophomores, and I think they only have one senior. So it was important for us to get off to good starts. Sometimes young teams, their confidence is rattled if you come out with a good start. And we definitely used our full court pressure to take them out of their rhythm and what they like to do. And really were able to maintain that effort throughout the first half and into the second half. Everybody played. We got to use our full bench and get some people some experience. And so that was a big positive.
The Glacier Bears girls are 3-3 in conference and 5-5 overall. That includes a preseason tournament against Petersburg and a non-conference game against Mount Edgecombe. Coach Elliott says the Wrangell wins are significant since the Glacier Bears are likely to see them again at the Region 5 tournament.
But they've been a pretty big rival of Haines in past years, you know, for better or worse. So it was important for us to get a couple wins at home, and hopefully that will spur us on in the next few weeks.
Glacier Bears boys traveled to Wrangell last weekend, losing 33-64 on Friday and again on Saturday. John Morse called the game.
And there is the buzzer. Wrangell wins the ball game here by a score of 80-48. Leading score for the Glacier Bears is Tyler Swinton with 19 points. Brandon Haxton had 11 before he fouled out. 6 for Austin Badger. 3 for Parker Schnabel. 3 for Devin Braden. And 2 for Justin Swinton.
The Glacier Bears play Craig Panthers late next week. The Skagway Panthers boys lost to the Hoona Braves on Saturday 50-76 and 53-70 on Sunday. The Panthers next play Chivac the middle through the end of next week. Galena is dealing with the aftermath of a weekend fire that burned a school shop facility. Sydney Huntington's school assistant superintendent Chris Wrighton says the two-story building and a lot of valuable shop equipment and supplies were lost.
All kinds of tools, our small engine, and electricity shops. They were the two shops that were totally destroyed. We lost everything in there.
Ryden says local firefighters and other responders who fought the Saturday night fire were able to pull some tools and materials from one bay of the workshop before the entire building was consumed. Firefighters were also successful in keeping flames from reaching the main school building nearby. Ryden says the school classes will have to be squeezed into other buildings and make use of remaining tools and supplies. He says the community is taking a positive view given the situation.
We're just thankful that it wasn't worse than what it was, that nobody got hurt, that everybody came together and pitched in. For having a crisis, the way it has transpired, you couldn't have it end any better way. We can continue with our programs with a little bit of adjustment, and we'll just keep moving on.
Wrighton says the cause of the fire is unknown, but fire marshals are investigating. The building is insured for $500,000, an amount Wrighton estimates is a little less than replacement cost. The Sydney Huntington School is one of two in Galena. The Yukon River community is also home to a boarding school, the Galena Interior Learning Academy. The schools share facilities, and some high school students attend classes on both campuses. Wrighton says the fire affects many of the 260 kids who attend the Galena City Schools. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS.